Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, hello, I'm Janet Moreno, the Executive Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to Just Ask Janet. Well, you know, Dr. Bernard Nathanson, he was the founder of the abortion industry. He was the one who opened up the very first big abortion clinic in New York City, and he and his colleagues really drove the engine to make abortion legal in our entire nation. He later converted to be 100% pro-life and deeply regretted the part he took. And guess what? We asked Dr. Nathanson, you know, how did you pull this off? How did you make abortion legal through the entire nation? And Dr. Nathanson told us, if the church in America had been united, purposeful, and strong, we would never have gotten away with what we did. Well, joining me today is a guest who's going to be asking that same question. We're going to be talking about the church in America, and especially the Black church in America. Why are they not engaged? And what more can we be doing? So joining me right now is a great friend of mine, a great pro-life leader, Reverend Joseph Parker. Welcome to the program, Reverend Parker.
Good to be with you today, Janet. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you.
Okay. So did you know that's what Dr. Bernard Nathanson said about the church in America? If you had been united, purposeful, and strong, we never would have been able to pull this off. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? And you have to admit,
it is.
I think the church still isn't united, purposeful, and strong. What do you have to say about that?
Well, you know, I know of Dr. Nathanson, but had never heard that statement by him before, and that is powerful to consider. But just as you mentioned, though, there's so much room for so much more unity to be at work in the church. There's a great need for the church to come together in unity because there are many great warriors who are doing great works in the kingdom of God as it relates to standing for life and against abortion. But we do need to come together much more so in prayer and in unity.
So tell us a little bit about, though, your journey. What woke you up to the abortion issue? What made you so focused on, we have to do something and we got to get the church going? What was the moment that really woke you up to this issue?
Well, you know, interesting in my own journey, I went to school, I went to college back in the 70s, and I remember seeing a series by Dr. Francis Schaeffer that was showed at our school, Belhaven University in Jackson, Mississippi. And it was interesting to me, but didn't really grab my attention significantly. But I've been a pastor for most of the last 45 years. And back in the early 90s, in the midst of just quite a bit of pro-life activity that was going on in the church world, I recall a time in which the Lord just grabbed my heart on this issue. And I just kind of felt like a mantle of sorts was placed on me to really begin to address this issue seriously. And from that moment forward, began to get involved with myself and my family. And to some extent, the pastoral work I was doing, I began to bring the pro-life message into that as well. So I've been involved in some capacity for most of the last 25 years.
So what do you see as the problem now with the church, especially in the Black community? I know you feel like there's not enough leadership, or what should or could we be doing to kind of wake them up?
Well, I believe a big part of the problem is there's such a need for people to be really taught the clear counsel of God's word on the life issue. You know, you have many people that, sadly, it appears they take their theology not from the word of God, but from their political party and from culture. And so their perspective on the issue does not derive from the word of God. It derives from bullet points and social media and what they hear the media saying, and again, their political party. And so they're not really looking to the word of God. And sadly, you have many leaders who they too don't take their theology and their perspective from the Word of God. They're listening loudly to their politics and the world they're in. And there's such a need for the church to be brought back to listening to the clear counsel of God's Word. Very simply, one of the Ten Commandments, you shall not murder. That's very straight and to the point. Yet, sadly, there are many that are not really listening or learning from that very clear counsel from God's Word.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's very clear. You shall not murder. And yet, the problem, I think, is like you just said, politically, it's being couched in these soft terms like reproductive rights, women's right to choose. Like, those all sound kind of okay terms, but you're killing an unborn child, you know. That's but right. Yet, the political football here is that, oh, it's a woman's right to choose. It's reproductive health. It's good for the woman. And they won't call it what it is. So how do you find, like, just start with your church that you're pastoring. Mm-hmm. When you preach on this topic and you're very honest with your congregation, what's the reaction?
Well, my experience is, like, for example, my goal is to try to be very loving and compassionate, yet sharing the truth. And a typical reaction there, I've had the experience of, like, sometimes a person may just get up and walk out of the congregation when I'm preaching about this topic. And that's never desired on my part, but I think I can understand that. But then there's some that may get visibly very uncomfortable, and then some may verbally say something, even maybe where it can be heard, that they don't appreciate me bringing it up. Well, so it's not fun to deal with the topic, but I think as a responsible pastor, I need to, in love, preach and teach about it. And so that's an important goal for me as a pastor, to not shy away from it because people need to hear it. And for example, both myself and my wife, both of sometimes we have pastored together as joint pastors, you know, co-pastors, and other times we've pastored in different congregations. And I recall an instance where my wife was preaching about it in her congregation, and she just felt impressed to address that very directly in a message. It really wasn't addressing the life issue, but that day she felt it. Well, several months later, she found out that there was a young lady who had come to church that day when she preached about it, and she was considering abortion. And that day, after hearing that message, she chose to keep her child. And this young lady had a number of boys, but she had no girls. This was the only girl that she had. And so she was very grateful that my wife, who was her pastor at the time, preached about it, because she chose life because she heard a message dealing with life and encouraging to do so. So that clearly is a goal. The goal is never to offend or hurt anyone's feelings. But when you preach the truth in love, babies will be saved, and then mothers and families will be saved as well. And so preaching the truth is so important for pastors to do it in love, but to not avoid doing that.
Right. And you know what I find, you know, Father Pavone addresses this all the time, and we do when we do our clergy seminars, to say things like, you know, when we preach on this topic, mm-hmm. we're also reaching out to you people out there that might have had an abortion or know someone who's had an abortion, and we're here for you. We're right. extending a hand of mercy and forgiveness, you know, it doesn't matter that you had that abortion. We want to welcome you back into That's the right. mercy of the Lord. So, you know, I think, like, your wife, I mean, she saved that baby because she was, the Lord put on her heart to open her mouth and say something. Mm-hmm. But you know something, there might've been other people in that congregation besides the baby saved. Maybe there was someone saying, well, okay, it's wrong, but there's forgiveness for me then. Okay. I can be forgiven. And what right. I think, Pastor, you could comment on this. If you say to a congregation, if you've destroyed the life of your child through an abortion, the Lord's here for mercy and forgiveness. Well, if someone's committed another sin that maybe doesn't sound as bad as that, well, they're going to say, well, then I guess God can forgive me of stealing this or doing that. But don't mm-hmm. you find it opens the door to more healing, to when people realize the Lord, the mercy is there. Just reach right. out for it, right?
Right. Again, if you preach the truth of God's word, it really does speak for itself. And the Holy Spirit knows how to touch a heart, no matter who it might be, when it's preached in love. And so I think without question, the need for forgiveness is so abundant obviously for the life issue, but for many other issues as well. And, you know, Janet, I think of this too. I happen to be a pastor in the African Methodist Episcopal Church, and to be quite honest, our denominational family needs a lot of help when it comes to addressing this issue biblically. And so, on the other hand, I think of right now, I'm very encouraged to see the leadership that the Church of God in Christ denomination, which is one of the larger African-American denominations, they've committed a major effort through their missions department to address the life issue. And you begin to see the fruit of that as you see the church across the board addressing it more and more. And right now, I think they're showing great leadership, not just for the Black church, but for the church across the world, because they're being a very aggressive and passionate about dealing with it in a way that I don't see other denominations dealing with it quite that way. And so that's what's needed, biblical leadership on the part of the church to boldly and in love to speak to the issue.
Right. Well, of course, you know, Reverend Parker, you are in Mississippi, and of course, all eyes are on Mississippi right now. First of all, I want everyone to understand that there's, as far as I know, there's only one abortion clinic left in Mississippi. I believe it's in Jackson, correct?
Right. That's correct.
Okay. One in the whole state. Mm-hmm. But then your state passed a great law saying that it's all focusing on viability, that once a baby, you know, can live outside the womb, that you can't have an abortion anymore in Mississippi. And as we know, this case has now been accepted by the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. And when they come back into session sometime in the fall, I guess, they're going to hear the oral arguments. So what's this like there? You're, like I said, your state looks like it's on its road to really making a great change on abortion in our nation. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I think it's wise for us as believers to recognize that we should be praying that God does in fact use this along with the prayers of God's people to overturn Roe v. Wade, because the reality is Roe v. Wade was I think without question, a very wicked ruling on the part and a wrong ruling on the part of the Supreme Court. It should have never happened. And so to reverse it would be a very good thing, because again, it should have never happened to begin with. And so I'm thankful to the Lord for the leadership on the part of the leaders that have brought this this case about to where now it is to be heard before the Supreme Court. And I think of this, that there is such a need for the church to rise up and have a much louder voice to speak out on these issues. I think it's great that there are believers who are in government that are speaking out and taking measures like this one to help change the law to where abortion is illegal once again. But there is a great need for the church to be much bolder and louder in speaking out as well, because that would embolden our leaders all the more to speak out against wicked laws as we should. And, you know, I think of this, Janet, too. You know, in Exodus chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 2, we find leaders of Pharaoh in Exodus 1 and Herod in Matthew chapter 2, wicked leaders who had no problem killing babies and had no issue with that. Well, of course, this is not a new problem, but there is a need for Christians to stand up and be bold. And I think of like in Exodus 1, you see a wonderful example in two little midwives, Shipra and Pua. They were two women who the Pharaoh told them, kill the baby boys. Well, the Bible says, but they feared God and they refused to do what Pharaoh said to do. And some may think, well, that was no big deal. They were just two little ladies. But the fact is they saved a number of Hebrew baby boys, but probably one of the little Hebrew baby boys they saved was a little boy named Moses, who God used to help deliver Israel out of slavery. Well, the beauty is God will use people that will boldly speak up for life, no matter where they are. God will always use your boldness and faithfulness and standing and speaking out for life. So that's the challenge before every one of us, to find out how we can speak up, how we can stand up and use our influence, our sphere of influence, to do what we can. And there's something everyone can do.
So now in Mississippi, we have that one abortion clinic left, but I'm sure women still go get abortions elsewhere anyway. And right. You and your wife are really stepping up now, because you're trying to have a special project you're trying to raise money for. Tell us about that project.
Right. Well, we Well, my wife, Bertie, and I, we've pastored in the Mississippi Delta, which is a large agricultural area along the eastern side of the Mississippi River in the state of Mississippi, an area that has a lot of poverty, but at the same time, a rich area in terms of its agriculture. But it was a large geographic area, and we noticed in that big part of our state only two pregnancy clinics. And in the southern region of the Mississippi Delta, there are no pregnancy clinics in those counties at all. And so after seeing that, we really wanted to get behind someone that would help to bring another pregnancy ministry to that area, because pregnancy clinic ministries are so vital to helping to address the life issue in a very loving and compassionate way, providing a safe place for women to be counseled, to be loved, to be embraced, and to be encouraged to keep their babies. Well, we saw the need, but we had discussions with the leadership people, but nothing was really happening in terms of starting a new ministry in the areas we were speaking of where there were none. And at a certain point, I really heard the Lord really say very directly to me, "You do it." And to be quite honest, I really wasn't looking to hear that. But after prayerfully getting clarity that that's what he wanted us to do, we embarked upon that journey. And here we are about at least 2.5 years later. We have a new ministry, a 501c3. We're raising monies to buy a mobile pregnancy unit that will serve three specific communities where there are no pregnancy ministries in the southern part of the Mississippi Delta, including the most populated city in the Delta, the Greenville, Mississippi. So we're in the process of raising the money to do that. And we're asking and encouraging believers to pray with us, and to, if they feel so led, to help financially, to help make it happen, because it's something God wants to happen. And we're going to do it by the grace of God. We're going to do it. But it is a need. There is a need for the church across the board to be much more aggressive in supporting pregnancy ministries, pregnancy clinic ministries, and starting them where need be, because these ministries are doing a great work to help both save babies, to save women, and to save families as well, and to address the issue too.
So if they want to help make a donation during this program, mm-hmm. where should they go? What website can they go to help get this mobile pregnancy assistant unit out there in the Delta, in the Mississippi Delta?
Okay, our website is greenwoodhopecenter.org. Again, that's greenwoodhopecenter.org. They'd learn more about the ministry and could give a donation, as well as learn more about how to pray for us and with us if they wish to.
That's awesome. That's really great. I mean, because, you know, I've been involved with Heartbeat International, a lot of the overarching pregnancy resource centers all over the country. And I never realized that there's a whole section there in Mississippi that they're not being serviced. So this is a real amazing thing you're doing, because, you know, when women find out, you know, that they're pregnant and they're in need, and, you know, so too often people are just pushing them off for that abortion thinking it's a quick fix. Mm-hmm. But if they're just given the right support, like you're offering to help them, right. they want to have their babies. I mean, look at that one woman in your congregation, because your wife spoke the truth, it shook her up enough to say, "I'm not going to have that abortion." And she had that baby girl she was hoping and wishing for. So, I mean, that they just need that encouragement and need the help, right?
Right. And people, believers really should learn, find out where your local pregnancy clinic is, and prayerfully figure out a way to support the clinic in terms of with your prayers, with your finances, to volunteer. Pregnancy ministries are used mightily by the Lord in the kingdom of God to save a lot of babies. They do a lot of evangelism, discipleship, but really help to embrace and love the women. And, you know, Janet, I would just mention briefly, too, there's such a need for us to understand that, again, God can use all of us in ways that we don't realize when we're willing to sacrificially give of our time and our energy. And if I can just mention, like, for example, a tool that's produced by the Justice Foundation, which has been a very fruitful tool for us to use, is it's a tool called the Dear Parent Letter, which very basically explains that if a woman wants to keep her baby, it's against the law for a boyfriend, a husband, or a parent to encourage her to abort. Well, we had an instance where we had a young lady that called us. Now, remember, we're located in Mississippi. I got a phone call one day from a young lady way up in the city of New York, to be quite honest with you. How they found us, it was just the grace of God. But basically, we had been promoting the use of the Dear Parent Letter. And she called and she said, She was 17 years old. She said, my parents are scheduling me to get an abortion tomorrow, and I want to keep my baby. Can you help me? Well, you know, we're a long as a ways away. But what we did do was I emailed her the Dear Parent letter, because it's a very fruitful tool to put in the hands of someone in her position. Well, we emailed the letter to her. The next day, didn't hear from her right away. So out of concern, I called her back. When I called her, she was actually at the abortion clinic. She had the letter that we sent her, but she hadn't shown it to her mother. And her mother had her there fully intending to get the abortion. I told her, please show your mom the letter. Well, late in the day, we heard from her. And she did, in fact, show her mom the letter. And the abortion clinic workers knew by law, I'm sorry, ma'am, we can't do this abortion because the mom said she doesn't want to have it. The mom wasn't happy, but they didn't do the abortion. They did do an ultrasound on this 17-year-old girl, and they found out this young lady was carrying twins. Well, see, the Lord used that little letter, the Dear Parent letter from the Justice Foundation, to help save not just one baby, but two babies that day. Well, any believer could get that letter and send it to your local high school, middle school, put it up on bulletin boards, because lots of people don't know that in all 50 states, that's the law. If the woman wants to keep her baby, it's against the law for anyone to coerce to get it. Well, again, that's something any believer can do, help distribute a tool like that to help save babies as well. That's one more thing believers can do.
Well, and I'm very familiar with that program, Reverend Parker. It's the Justice Foundation. Brothers and sisters, you go to thejusticefoundation.org. And what the Dear Parent letter is, it basically says to the parent, and whether it's the parent or like what you just said, a school counselor, because some of these schools, you'll have the guidance counselor taking a young lady off for an abortion. That's out right. Of school, off the abortion clinic. You know, isn't that ironic? They can't give that same girl a Tylenol, but they can take her off for an abortion. And what the letter basically says is, if this under 18 minor, okay, this is someone under 18, does not want to have an abortion, if you force this abortion, you could be prosecuted. You could go to jail. And it's a very legal letter. It's passed legal scrutiny. And you just gave one example of how it was used up in New York to save a baby. But babies have been saved all over our country what we call this Dear Parent letter. And it's like, Dear Parent, Dear School Counselor, Dear whoever you are, taking this minor child, because if you're under 18, you're a minor child, minor child over for abortion, you will be prosecuted. Because see, you know, at that point, like you just said, the abortion clinic said, oh, I guess we can't do this abortion now, because they know that they could be prosecuted. So it has saved so many, because you can't force or coerce an abortion. It cannot happen. And the other thing I think we need to maybe mention, that there's also safe haven laws, which I know the Justice Foundation has been promoting. Whether you're in Mississippi, New York, we're in Florida, in all 50 states have safe haven laws on the books. And what this means is, any woman, you give birth to that baby, you're in the hospital, you change your mind, I can't raise this baby, you can just walk out of that hospital and leave that baby and not be held responsible. Nothing will happen to you. And even so, let's say you bring the baby home and a day or two of this, you say, I can't handle being a mommy. Safe haven law. Pick up that baby, bring it to the nearest fire station, police station, and turn over that baby. And again, no questions asked. You can walk away. So we have, you know, the Dear Parent letter. We have safe haven laws. We have things that can, I think the sad thing is, wouldn't you say, Reverend Parker, that more people in churches and things don't know about it, right?
That's right. People just need to learn more about the issue and ways to get involved, because God can use any and every believer that wants to get involved. And God will use you to save babies, and again, save mothers and save whole families. Because, you know, Janet, I think of this, that I don't know how many times I've seen this happen, where sometimes the parents are adamant that their minor daughter will get an abortion, and for whatever reason, the abortion doesn't happen. Nobody falls in love more with the baby than granddad or grandma. And the thought that they considered killing their beautiful granddaughter or grandchild is something that they're ashamed of, to be quite honest, because they're just thinking, what a beautiful child. How could we've ever thought such a thing? So helping to save the baby saves whole families in so many ways.
Oh, it does. Because, you know, I mean, I have several grandchildren now, and I call them grand treasures because that's what they really are. And like you just said, who can look? I mean, when you see that little baby, who looks at that little baby and says, oh, I wish you weren't born? Never. Mm. I mean, babies are just like you want to hug them and kiss them and squeeze them and hold them, you know. So it's so true. Deep in our souls, and I think God put it on our heart, we are pro-life just by our nature. We mm-hmm. want to hold a baby. We want to give life. It's in our DNA, you know. Right. So the shame thing is enough people aren't waking up. Like you said in the very beginning, it's become too much of a political issue. I always say this is not a political issue. It's a human rights issue. Mm-hmm. Those babies deserve to be born. You know, it's a shame. So now, do you communicate with some of the other pastors in the Mississippi area to kind of get them involved or influence them?
I do in different capacities. And of course, sometimes I speak with them one-on-one. Sometimes I may speak in other venues when I have the opportunity. We also spearhead an event. It's called a Festival for Life. Basically, it's a multimedia event that we use, whereby we use music videos, movie clips, music videos that help to communicate a biblical message about the need for the church to become aggressive in standing for life. And so this is a seminar that we do, and we've done it in the South and in different parts of the nation. We do it wherever the Lord opens the door. This too is a tool to help educate not just pastors, but congregations about the need to become much more passionately aggressive about addressing the life issue too. So yeah, we try to communicate that, and we encourage also, the goal is that we want to encourage individuals and couples and families to speak to the issue too, because even children know what abortion is. I'm reminded of an instance where my wife and I were in a setting where she was doing a children's message. She wasn't talking about abortion, but she asked the children, what are you thankful for? And a number of the children said the normal things. I'm thankful for my mom. Thank you for my home. But two little boys, both of them younger, I believe both of them were younger than 9 years of age. Two little boys in that setting said, I'm thankful my mama didn't abort me. Well, that lets you know that children know what abortion is, and sometimes they realize a brother or a sister or a cousin or a friend isn't here because of abortion. Mm-hmm. And they realize that adults keep some children and adults kill some children. So what kind of message are we communicating to our children?
Yeah. Well, Reverend Parker, we wish you all the best there in Mississippi Delta. We're going to be praying hard. I hope people do go to your website and support your wonderful work. And let me tell you, when you get that mobile clinic up to be blessed, and I want to come down and visit, okay?
Okay. We'd be honored to have you to come.
Okay. Well, God bless you and continue the great work. And say hello to your lovely wife, too, all right?
We'll do that. Thank you.
Okay. Well, brothers and sisters, I hope you were inspired today by Reverend Parker's story. And he gave you some great action steps that you can do to help bring an end to abortion. And remember, there are some abortions only you can stop and some lives only you can save. Join me again next time on Just Ask Janet. God bless.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.